This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org, for the week of Friday, October 28th, on Thursday, November 3rd. Israel renews its campaign against not only Palestinian fighters, but also civilians who are not involved in any of the Palestinian resistance groups. Large numbers of Palestinians are injured or arrested in attacks on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And the Israeli military attempts to cork the Palestinian weekly peaceful protests against the separation wall in the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Twelve-year-old Ahmed Al-Khatib from Jenin was fatally shot by Israeli soldiers on Thursday as he walked by the secondary school for girls with his parents. An Israeli military ambulance transferred the boy to an Israeli hospital in Haifa, where he was pronounced dead. An Israeli military source excused the killing, saying soldiers had mistaken a toy gun the child was carrying for a real gun. The killing happened during an Israeli invasion of Jenin, one of many such invasions this past week. The invasions are part of Ariel Sharon's declared hunt for militants. In his opening address to the winter session of the Israeli parliament, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon said the separation wall is not intended to harm the daily life of Palestinians and called for construction of the wall to take top priority. But in sharp contrast to Sharon's words, the concurrent reality on the ground illustrated the systemic assault on Palestinian life and property. Olive orchards and farms, which provide the only source of income for many Palestinians, continued to be bulldozed to make way for the wall. Those who peacefully dissented were violently suppressed. The village of Bilin, near the West Bank city of Ramallah, came under attack several times this week. Bilin has been central in the nonviolent resistance movement against the wall and has been holding weekly peaceful protests for months. Last Friday afternoon, Israeli soldiers fired gas bombs and rubber-coated bullets at the weekly protest in Bilin, injuring several unarmed residents. On Saturday at dawn, at least six Israeli vehicles, carrying border police and dozens of infantry, invaded the village. Soldiers raided dozens of homes and arrested four residents. 3 days later, the Israeli military carried out another dawn invasion, beating several of the village's inhabitants with clubs and arresting three people, including two children. Israel continued its offensive against the Palestinian resistance factions this week, particularly Islamic Jihad, assassinating fighters while demanding the Palestinian Authority disarm Palestinian militias as a prerequisite to resuming peace talks. On Monday at dawn, Israeli soldiers assassinated Islamic Jihad operative Jihad Zakarna, age 29, in the town of Kabatia. This is the third such attack on Kabatia since last Sunday's bombing in Hadera, which killed five and injured at least 30. At least 10 residents of Kabatia have been injured and six more arrested. Following the assassination, Palestinian fighters fired several homemade shells at the Israeli nearby town of Sderot, causing no injuries. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance factions agreed to commit to a unilateral ceasefire while preserving the right to respond to Israeli attacks. On Tuesday, Israeli gunships fired several missiles at a Palestinian car in Jabalia refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip, killing two fighters. One was a member of Hamas's armed wing, and the other belonged to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades. At least nine bystanders were injured. Hamas called the assassination a declaration of war against the Palestinian people, promised retaliation, and said it would not renew the nine-month ceasefire that expires at the end of this year. 70-year-old Aziz Hanini, from the village of Beit Dajan, east of Nablus, was attacked on Sunday afternoon by two settlers while he was herding sheep. He had barely recovered from a similar attack 2 months before. One resident was injured in the West Bank city of Hebron on Saturday night, as settlers raided dozens of homes in Hebron and the neighboring village of Yatta. Moreover, residents of the West Bank village of Azmut, near Nablus, complained of repeated attacks carried out by settlers from Alon Moreh settlement near the village. Settlers have repeatedly attacked Palestinian families while picking olives in the nearby orchards, obstructing the olive-picking season. Jewish millionaire Erwin Moskowitz announced his sponsorship of a new Jewish neighborhood to be built in the Arab Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem. The proposed settlement will displace the Palestinian inhabitants of the neighborhood, many of whom can trace their lineage back hundreds of years. The settlement will be built next to the Hyatt Hotel and an Israeli police station. It will consist of 90 housing units spread out over 6 residential buildings. Each building will include 8 floors, a synagogue, gardens, and other areas reserved for future expansion. Also this week, Israeli member of Knesset Eliezer Cohen submitted a bill to annex parts of the illegal West Bank settlements of Ariel, Gevat Ze'ev, and Gush Etzion to Israel. The bill claimed that these settlements are part of the State of Israel since they are governed by Israeli law and that they should therefore be officially annexed to Israel and be considered part of it. Israel began construction of a massive checkpoint near the Tapoha settlement near Nablus. The checkpoint will include a road with 10 lanes, 8 leading to the south of the West Bank and 2 to the north. The decision to construct the checkpoint was taken 9 months ago and is part of the plan to divide the West Bank into 3 permanently isolated parts. While hundreds of checkpoints and roadblocks are placed throughout occupied Palestinian territories, only a handful of such magnitude and permanence have been built, including Abu Holi and Netzarim checkpoints in the Gaza Strip and Qalandia near Ramallah. The Abu Holi and Netzarim checkpoints have been removed by Palestinians after the Israeli pullout from the Gaza Strip. The Israeli cabinet approved on Tuesday a proposal to allow European Union personnel to operate along the Rafah border crossing between the Gaza Strip and Egypt. The EU personnel would enforce security procedures as stipulated by Israel and will be granted considerable enforcement capabilities, while Israel would use surveillance cameras to monitor the travel of the passengers in and out of the Gaza Strip. The idea was suggested by both Palestinian and Israeli governments. The Palestinian Authority requested third-party presence to thwart the gross human rights violations carried out by the Israeli military at the crossing, including random arrests and detentions and the killing of civilians. Israel insisted a third-party presence would cut down on smugglers bringing weapons into the Gaza Strip. Almost 1 month and a half has passed since Israel evacuated the Gaza settlements. However, the Israeli military has retained control of Gaza's airspace and borders. The crossing has been closed for much of the time since the evacuation, making Gaza look more than ever like a jail. Many Palestinians who had traveled to Egypt, thinking the crossing would be left open after the evacuation, now find themselves trapped at the closed terminal and unable to return home. Palestinian and Israeli security officers have met several times, but failed to agree upon the terms on which Israel will allow the Palestinian Authority to reopen the terminal. And that's some of the news this week from Palestine. For the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org in Beit Zahor, Palestine, I'm Tarina Aguilar.